The position of Chief Data Officer is a relatively new one in the federal space, and no two agency CDOs have the same job description. But across the board, agencies who have appointed a CDO have realized significant returns on investment, and the ones who've been the most successful have been empowered by senior agency leaders to make decisions and act as data evangelists. Those are some of the conclusions in a new study of federal CDOs just published by the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Jane Wiseman is a senior fellow at the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government and the report's author. She talked with me about the value CDOs are bringing and how they're beginning to take hold in federal agencies.
So one of the interesting things to me was that in the public sector as a whole, the role of the CDO is even newer than I had assumed, you know, just considering the amount of buzz there's been about this topic at conferences and stuff. So you chart the first one back to just, I guess, 11 years ago. So maybe you can start us off by just giving us a sense of how nascent this whole idea is in the federal space and how few of them there really are.
Right. So, you know, when I think about cities, we have, you know, 17,000-18,000 cities and towns, and there are about 22 chief data officers. So that gives you a sense of the degree to which this has permeated. But there are lots of other people with similar titles. You know, there are performance officers who are using data, there are innovation officers, but still it's a small group. And so that's why in the federal government I started with the curiosity as a taxpayer of, okay, so are the biggest agencies ones that have someone in charge of data? And I was, as a taxpayer, very sad to see that only 3 of the 10 largest non-defense federal agencies have a chief data officer: HHS, Transportation, and USDA. And those are actually all pretty small shops, very few staff in those CDO offices. And, you know, I think that's not entirely surprising given that this role didn't exist a decade ago. And what we've seen in cities is that some of the pioneers were people who got in and almost treated it as like a startup type thing where they're in, they spend a couple years, they make a huge amount of difference, and then they go on to the next adventure. And what was fun for me to explore in looking at the federal space is that we have CDOs who've stayed 4 or 5 years and have been able to make a huge contribution. And so the paper has profiles, 5 federal CDOs, and a couple of them have been around since the early days and have really been able to just affect wonderful organization-wide change.
Of the successful ones, have they tended to come up through the agency or come in with that entrepreneurial spirit from the outside?
It's a mix, really. And I think that's true whether you look at federal, state, or local-level CDOs. And I think as well in the private sector that there's no one answer to what's the best way to get a CDO. I think an internal hire can be great because they already understand the organization, they understand how to get things done, they know the administrative data of the operations. An outsider sometimes has something to prove, right? And so they work really hard to get to know people and build relationships and figure things out. So every CDO that's in federal, state, or local government is making a huge contribution and generating tremendous public value. And they come from, you know, policy background, finance background, IT background, programmers. And what's interesting is no two CDOs have the exact same set of responsibilities. No two of them have the same personality type. And so they're all kind of pioneers in this wonderful world of data-driven government.
So to be a successful CDO, at least one of the things you say in the paper is that you need to have authority, you need to have, to some degree, a high profile. So of the CDOs that you talked to and looked at, how challenging has it been to be seen as like a credible decision maker within the organization? Because I imagine scenarios where the person would have to fight potentially pretty hard to carve some authority away from the CIO, the CTO, whoever it is, or even just struggle to convince people that the job is relevant.
Yeah, I'm so glad you raised that point about the CIO and the CTO. And, you know, to me, these are not zero-sum situations. These are situations where the CIO and CTO and CDO all have separate and mutually reinforcing roles. So there isn't a, you know, territorial thing here. Number one is executive sponsorship. So if I'm appointed a CDO, I want the cabinet secretary, the governor, the mayor, the county exec, I want that person to make a big deal of it that I'm appointed. And, you know, whether it's through an executive order or a memo or vesting with me the authority to do my job. And, you know, I think the size of staff doesn't really matter. The profile matters, and that I have enough staff to do whatever it is that is my mandate. And the mandate has to come from my executive sponsor. If I have a broad mandate, I need a lot of staff. If I have a narrow mandate, then I can operate with a small team. And, you know, there are some amazingly powerfully productive CDOs with just themselves or with a handful of staff. It doesn't take an army, but it's always great when you have an army of data people. So there's no magic number in terms of the size, but the most important thing is executive sponsorship, and that is what helps, as you say, convince others of the value of a data-driven approach. So the truly exceptional CDOs are also able to be communicators and data evangelists, and they can take the sort of mid-managers, the people who are running operations, the owners of business processes. You know, the best CDOs are able to take those people who might be data skeptics and turn them into data enthusiasts. And one of the things that is critically important is raising the overall level of digital literacy and data literacy in government. It's something that we've just woefully underinvested in.
So if I am an agency chief operating officer, chief management officer, and I'm thinking about hiring a CDO for the first time, what are the kind of competencies or attributes I should be looking for?
So there are three things. One is, you know, sort of basic nuts and bolts technical competency. Can I oversee analytics, dashboards, data warehouses? You know, I may not have to be able to do it myself, but I should be able to be competent enough to supervise others doing it. So there's kind of the basic blocking and tackling of data work. And then there's openness to new ideas. Someone comes to me and says, oh, you know, I think we ought to do user-centered design, or, you know, I'm thinking about doing an A-B test on this, or, you know, what about if we engage digital services? So that openness to new ideas, when you can take innovation and marry it with data, boy, that's good government. So that would be the second piece. And then the third is the one that very often we just forget about, which is execution. Because I could have the best ideas in the world, but if I don't carry through on them, nothing happens. So I want to start with the foundation of technical competence. I want to add openness to new ideas. And then the icing on the cake is the ability to just relentlessly stay on task until we execute.
And Jane, you said earlier that there are really no two federal CDOs that have the exact same job description or set of responsibilities. But I also think you say in the report that it's important to bound whatever those responsibilities are in some way. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. So the thing is that, and that's the reason I also like having a written strategy, having a, you know, and organizations that have written mission statements or statements of values or vision. When we write it down, putting it into words can sometimes be hard because it makes us really evaluate and choose and get clear. So what's wonderful about writing it down is that then you can say, oh, yeah, that's what we're doing and not that other thing. And so it keeps you from getting scope creep. And it also allows you to then communicate with all the other parts of your organization and say, this is what we can do for you. See here, it's in writing.
I'm going to have to refer people to the report, which we will link to on our website, to read your full list of recommendations just for the sake of time. But let me ask you about at least one of them before we run out of time, which is, it sounds like you're actually suggesting that OMB/Congress mandate the creation of CDOs within agencies. I would be a little bit concerned that that might lead to a little bit too much prescriptiveness if it's done from on high like that. But talk with us about why you think it's time to actually mandate this.
So I think that if we could bring more data literacy, data culture, and if we could raise the level of expectation about using data in government, it would be game changer. You know, when I think about if I'm sick and I go to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, we could run some tests and collect some data and analyze the data, but, you know, I'm just going to make this decision based on my good judgment. You know, or if the next time I got on a plane, the pilot says, you know, I got all these dials here with all this information, and I could look at all this data, but, you know, I kind of know the way. I think I'm just going to use my own judgment. We would never think that's okay. And yet, in government, we kind of haven't made that leap. And there are amazing, wonderful pockets of excellence in government when it comes to using data. But the thing is, we haven't yet made that leap to just expect it the way we would with the pilot flying our plane. And so that's where I want to get to. And, you know, does every agency need to have someone whose title is Chief Data Officer? You know, there are plenty of different titles that are people who are doing wonderful things, analytics officers, data scientists. I really feel like every agency should have a go-to person on data. And, you know, as a taxpayer, I love the idea of really large agencies having someone who's the go-to person on data. And I think, you know, in many places, Chief Data Officer probably is the right title, but I wouldn't say everyone has to have that title. But I sure love the idea of there being a point person for taking on the challenge of getting us to a place where we just expect that data is available at a high quality and recency and that it's actionable. Because a lot of the data we have in government isn't very useful. So I don't want to be overly prescriptive, but I do want to enthusiastically endorse the idea of more data leadership in government. Where chief data officers exist, they return dollars, multiples of dollars, whether it's, you know, $5 for every dollar invested or 20% improvement in operational efficiency or, you know, hundreds of thousands of savings or millions of savings. There are true cost efficiencies that can be gained. And I think we all want that in government.
Jane Wiseman is a senior fellow at the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation at the Harvard Kennedy School. You can find more and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and subscribe to all of our interviews on Apple Podcasts or Podcast One.